Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation Working Group call on the 16th of June at 1800 UTC. On the call today, we have Rudy Vancic, Sarah Bakke, Lori Schulman, Wolf Ulrich Novin, Angie Graves. We do have apologies from Amar Al-Sadr and Ann Aikman-Scalise. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund and myself, Michelle Lee Snyder. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. With that, I'll turn the call over to Rudy Vancic.
Thank you, Michelle. Rudy Vancic for the transcript. Welcome on this call that will probably not take too long, as we had some good remarks, and it looks like everybody is quite happy with the proposed document. So then, the second point on the agenda is still the SOIs, and I suppose that nobody has any changes in the SOIs till now. If there is any change, please tell us. You can do it eventually in the chat if you think there is something you need to mention. I would like to move on to the third point on the agenda, which is the status of the full consensus call on chair and vice chair proposed revised GNSO operating procedures. We have on the screen now the redlined text, and we received a mail from Anne giving already a yes for IPC. Although there was a little question about, and it looked like it was an issue of reading the number 3 in 2.2.1. I've been looking into the text, and I didn't see any reference to chair with the question about should each house designate an counselor for a chair, and I didn't see that text at all. So I saw that Julie also went through the text and didn't see any issue with number 3 or number 4 with regards to the text that was mentioned in the mail. I don't know if anybody else had seen this as an issue. We received that mail a few hours ago. So I think that that's cleared out now, and we can move forward with the text that is presented to us. Is there any anybody having any comments on the text that is proposed? And then we have an agreement from each of the participants that we can approve the text that is presented by that was done by Julian and Mary, and that is in front of us. Can I ask if there is anybody against the proposed text that you lift your hand so that we will see if there is any opposition? I suppose this is the right way to go to move forward so that we can close this, this full consensus call today in a normal way and proceed with the next steps of the process. I see, Julie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thank you, Rudy. I'll just note that this is Julie Hedlund for the transcript. The consensus call does run through the end of the day today, but and generally, if there are no objections, then it is assumed that there is consensus. We do not require people to affirmatively confirm that they agree with the language, although it was nice that IPC did so. I don't know if the folks in the room want to just do a little, you know, agree or something like that, but that's also not necessary as well. If we hear no objections by the end of the day today, then we assume that the consensus call has ended and that the text is confirmed. I'll just note that one other thing to discuss here today with respect to these procedures is that we were going to do an update email message from AMR to the council, letting them know that we had reached the consensus on both the motions and amendments and also on this item. But I think that there was, we just wanted them in particular to look at the procedures, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'll actually look back in my notes because I think there was something in particular that we wanted to raise to their attention. And unfortunately, Amar is not on the call, and I know it was, I think it was something he and both Ann had wanted to raise, but wanting to get the council's sense of, you know, let them know that these are the draft revised procedures for the chair, vice chair elections, and see if they had any concerns or comments before we went to the public comment on this and the other procedures.
Thank you, Julie, really for the transcript. And I just note in the chat that Renata is mentioning that AMR had passed this along the NCUC, and there were no objections raised. Thankful for clarifying also the process. Under number 4, what I was considering the next steps of the process is that we will need to proceed with a communication to the council that we would go through AMR. I have to note that I know from aerial mail that and messages that AMR will not be in Helsinki and will be replaced by Avri Doria. So I don't know if that means that he is not going to be able to talk into the council meeting. If that's the case, we need to know quite rapidly. Yes, Julie, you have your hand raised. You have the floor.
Hi, yes. This is Julie Hedlund. It was not envisioned that this would be an in-person update to the council. I don't think there really is time for that in this particular meeting because they do have a lot of work to do in a much compressed amount of time. I believe the intention was that the update would just go via email to the council from AMR, and that it would be considered on the GENIS Council email list. If they did find time for it, for discussion in Helsinki, that's fine. But I think we said earlier that, you know, we couldn't guarantee that it would get on the council's agenda. So no in-person update is necessary.
Thank you very much, Julie, Rudy, for the transcript. I just wanted to inform everybody in the call here that AMR will not be present in the meeting in Helsinki. And in case there were some questions that people would like to ask in Helsinki, well, he will not be there, so it will be difficult. I see Wolf Ulrich, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy. Wolf Ulrich speaking. Just a question, to be clear, Julie, about the process. So we are going right now sending out this text for public comment. So how is that done? Is it done by approval through the council, from the council, or are we as team going to just to publish that? So because I'm asking that because of the if the council has to approve that, then there might be a discussion before that on council. I'm not sure about. Please clarify. Thank you.
Yes, Julie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. I'm sorry, Mary and I were also discussing. You were asking whether or not the council needs to approve the language before it goes out to public comment. Is that correct?
Well, my question was whether the council has to approve that it goes to public comment or not.
Right. No, the council does not. That is something that the SCI can do.
Okay.
It was just in this instance, I think, just because the chair, vice chair procedures have gotten, you know, fairly complicated, that we just kind of wanted to let them know where they stood. But there is no approval process. I mean, it's really a courtesy, I think. Well, not even a courtesy. I think this group just wanted to get a sense of, you know, from the council if they had any concerns about this before it was sent out for public comment, but no need for them to actually approve it. But I will note one of what Mary and I were just discussing is that Mary, good for her, has found a typo. It is not the typo, it is not what was being raised by IPC, but it is a typo. So we thought we would let you know what it was and where it occurred, and we could indeed just, you know, alert. If you prefer, we can, let's describe it to you and you can decide how we should address it. It's not major, but it is a difference. Let's see. The language says the house with a vacant vice chair position instead of it says a house with a vacant vice chair position, not the house with a vacant vice chair position. And since I had not actually seen where this occurred, let me just it must be in. Yeah, I'm going to defer to Mary because she found it while I was talking, and I have not actually found it yet. So please go ahead, Mary. Sorry.
Thanks, Julie, and hi, everybody. So as Julie says, we don't believe this is a substantive change at all. It may not be technically a typo in as much as just a question of proper English usage. It does go to the point that I think it may have been Amma who raised it first, that in this paragraph 3, which is on the screen, we are talking about a scenario where there's no chair and there's no vice chairs. And then what happens, you know, if one house gets an interim chair and the other one doesn't. So the point here is, if you look at the last sentence in this paragraph 3, we do say, at the moment, should the house with the vacant vice chair position fail to designate its interim vice chair? The reason we say that is that that repeats the language from paragraph 2 above, and it does actually refer to a similar scenario. But like I said, in terms of English usage, paragraph 3 deals with a case where you don't have any vice chairs. So it makes no sense to say that is the house with the vacant vice chair position. In other words, for this sentence, instead of saying, should the house with the vacant vice chair position fail to designate an interim vice chair, that part of the sentence should simply read, should a house fail to designate an interim vice chair, the designated interim vice chair from the other house will serve as an interim vice chair alone. I hope that's clear and that you agree with us that that's actually not a substantive change, and I see that Lori has signaled her agreement in the chat. If folks agree with this change for consistency of English, it doesn't touch on the substance, it doesn't change anything about the process, then our suggestion is that we can agree to make the change on the call, take it to the list, and maybe allow for a number of days, say, you know, 3 business days or whatever, for anyone to object or to question it. And certainly there might be people who might need a further explanation or a fuller explanation, but we could allow for that opportunity without having to redo the consensus call all over again. So thank you, Rudy and Renata. I see you agree as well, and Angie in the Adobe as well. So on that note, Rudy, I'll just turn it back to you to summarize what you think we should do.
Thank you very much, Mary. And as a non-native speaker, English speaker, I wouldn't have noticed even that it makes a difference. And indeed, as you explained, it makes a little difference, except that if you read the full point three, it doesn't make a change in the way we would like the procedures to proceed. So personally, I have no objection. I'm just wondering, Wolf Ulrich, you are in fact the only one that, and I think Sarah too, that didn't agree on this change. Because then if we have an objection, we need to go through the process for several days, as was mentioned by Mary. But it looks like we all are happy with that little change. It's three characters changing by one character. Doesn't make that big difference. So I would like to move forward with what is proposed. We could eventually, as Laurie is mentioning, we could maybe, as there are people absent on the call, just make a note to the list that we are changing the wording here so that everybody is aware of it. And as far as I can see, it's a close of business day, which is in several hours from now. So it is possible that we go through it without any difficulties and have the full consensus ended today. I see, Julie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yes, and actually, I think, so Amr had suggested a change to the text that I thought we had picked up, and I'm actually chagrined now that that it doesn't appear here, and I could have sworn it was in brackets. Amr had suggested should one of for number three, because it was a difference from number two, should one of the houses fail to designate an interim vice chair, the designated interim vice chair from the other house will serve as an interim vice chair alone until the new chair is conclusively elected. Also noting that so this is actually in line with what he suggested. It's just slightly different. Not to complicate things, but, you know, should one of the houses fail to designate, I mean, I think it's essentially the same language as Amr was suggesting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Julie. And I'm just looking to my notes that I made on our last call, and indeed it is something, but I have been quickly noting it on a piece of paper here. It is the same paragraph that the same sentence that he was pointing to.
Right, and so this is Julie again. I apologize. I thought that, you know, after we'd sent that around, I had amended the language to reflect the change that Amr had suggested. It appears that didn't happen, but nonetheless, that would argue for notifying people. I mean, Amr did make that suggested change at least a week ago. There were no objections to it. What I'll do is I think I'll just go ahead and call it out to people and, you know, and ask if there's any objections. And I guess where did we stand and how much time to give people to object or not.
Yes, thank you, Julie, really, for the transcript. What I would like to propose is that it's Thursday, that we give people time till Monday. It doesn't make that much change, I think, as between now and Helsinki, there is nothing that will happen anymore. So if we propose that we close the full consensus call on next Monday, then everybody had the chance to go through it and eventually note something if there is need for. Is that a process we can agree on? Which means we need to, anyway, make the two notations to the list, and it impacts, in fact, the way people could react to the full consensus call. So if, I would propose that we move as such. We close the full consensus call on Monday the 20th, close of business, which will allow us to then proceed on Tuesday, and I'm entering in now into the next steps point of the agenda. We would then, or ICANN staff will then proceed with the next step, which is doing an update mail to the council of where we stand. And the other question that I then have is, when do we decide to move forward for public comments? Is there a timing that we need to expect, or is this something we could do before or after Helsinki? That's one of the questions that I have, and I would like to know if Julia or Marie, you can advise here if we do it before Helsinki or after Helsinki. Yes, Julie?
Hi, Rudy, and I'm sorry, I was just distracted for a moment. You're asking about the update. Should it be before or after Helsinki?
No, about the public comment phase. I think that the update to the council is something we are going to do on Tuesday or Wednesday next week, so that it ends on the table for the council before they have their meeting in Helsinki. But the other and the next step is about we have the two issues on the table for public comment. Do we proceed with this publishing it for public comment before Helsinki, or is this done after Helsinki?
Hi, Rudy. This is Julie for the transcript. It would be after Helsinki for a number of reasons. First, I think because we wanted to see if there was any guidance forthcoming from the council with respect to the update that AMR sends, you know, just notifying them of you know, sending the language along, particularly for the chair, vice chair, but we can certainly send the other language as well, you know, alerting them to the fact that, you know, the procedures for the elections is relatively complicated. We would like them to look at that. We're not asking for their approval for public comment, but, you know, we could indicate our intention that these will be sent out for public comment, as is the usual procedure after Helsinki. Generally, also, the other reason is we don't like to start a public comment period just prior to an ICANN meeting because, you know, people are traveling and they're not paying attention, and then we end up having to extend the public comment period anyway since the first bit gets lost. So so that's that would be my suggestion.
Thank you very much, Julie. And Mary, you want to add something to that?
Yes, if I may. Not so much to that particular point, because Julie has summarized it exactly as the staff were thinking, but just a supplemental point that the public comment period, even if we go after Helsinki, should close in time for this timeline that we see now on the screen to happen, because one of the major change, I think, that we clarify in what we're suggesting is that incoming councillors should be eligible to run for the chair position. And I see a check from Wolf Ulrich, so I wonder if he was going to make the same point. And so if you look at this timetable, given that the AGM will be in early November this year, if you count backwards, there will be time for the new council members to be announced and for them and their houses to consider who should be the nominee, if that could perhaps be one of them. I think the only other thing that may be relevant here really has nothing to do with the SCI or indeed the council, which is that then the SGs and Cs would have to get their houses in order to get the voting done. And I think in respect of that, Glenn will be discussing this with the council and with the SGNC leadership in Helsinki. Thanks, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Mary. Rudy, for the transcript. Wolfgang, do you want to add something to this?
Yes, thanks, Rudy. And thanks, Mary. That's really a good point. So it's very important, this timeline. And I was wondering, therefore, whether we really need to wait for comments from the council at this point, If we do so, I think that then really we should make this point in Helsinki and have a kind of conversation about that rather than waiting for something from the email list. So if we are of the opinion, so I was just thinking, after we had these several rounds of, let me say, more or less consensus calls with some adaptations, amendments, and so I'm asking myself whether it's necessary to wait for some council input, or whether we shouldn't start immediately after close of consensus call to put together the documents and then send it out immediately for public comment in order to save time. Because, as Mary said, you see, the first point on the timeline is usually at this meeting in Helsinki, the proposed procedure should be announced. How shall we do that if we are just not clear about that? We should save as much as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, really for the transcript. I have something additional to it, not with regards to the timing of when the public comment should start. And I agree with Julie and Mary that we should do it after Helsinki for several pragmatic reasons. But I have also the question about when is this procedure implemented? Is it at the end of the after we handled all the public comments we would receive and eventually review, or is that earlier? So, Julie, I see you have your hand up. Can you help us through this?
Hi, Rudy. This is Julie for the transcript. So first to Wolf Ulrich's point, as Mary mentioned, we're reluctant to send this out before Helsinki because it actually will not save us time. We can't really count, we can't really count the week of the ICANN meeting, and while conceivably we could count next week, we wouldn't really be able to get it out until Tuesday or Wednesday. These things take actually quite a bit of time to prepare. And it's not all something that we can do on our own. It's something that happens with our tech people who manage the web and what goes up on the web, and there are a number of approvals in that process as well. So we're really talking about perhaps just a few days next week, and then we have to assume that Helsinki that we're not even counting that week. So we have to then add a week in the public comment process for Helsinki. So it would really maybe only buy us a few days. And as Mary pointed out, because of the timing of the AGM, we don't have any time constraints there. To Rudy's question, we would need to get this approved at a GNSO Council meeting. So even if we were to do the public comment now, the whole public comment process would, and then, you know, the collection of the comments, if there are any, and consideration of the comments by the SEI, I don't think we would be able to have this ready for the GNSO Council meeting on the 21st of August.21st of July, pardon me. There is no council meeting in August, although we can do a vote, of course, without a meeting. But then it's envisioned that there has been some discussion, prior to that. Then that would put us into September. Let me just confer with Mary, too, as we're looking at the timing here. We're still looking at it doesn't affect the NOMCOM select who's being announced. It doesn't affect the announcement of the proposed of I'm just trying to read through the schedule here. Yes, so Mary Wong actually is putting this into the chat, and she's doing much better at it than I am. Next meeting is September 1st. Deadline for documents is 22nd August. There will be time for SEI to finalize and AMR to send a motion for September 1st, even if we open the public comment after Helsinki.
That's perfect. That sounds really good. So we have a solution for this phase. And I think that, well, I don't expect many comments coming from the council in Helsinki on what we proposed. And based on the timeline, in fact, the procedures only start at the moment that I'm just looking into the schedule itself here. It's minus 30 days, if I'm not wrong, that it in fact starts to have an impact on the procedures itself. So, in order not to have Wolf Ulrich not being able, and I would also love to see the soccer game. And I think we did what is needed for this call to get to a final conclusion. We know the next steps. The public comment period will start after Helsinki. It allows also ICANN staff to work on the document. As Julie was mentioning, it takes quite some work that needs to be done. I suppose that for our next call, that would be the week after Helsinki, somewhere on Thursday also. I see Angie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yes, this is Angie. I just noticed something in the email providing background. And if we are... I can certainly respond to this via email as well, but if we are making changes and reissuing this note, I just thought I'd make a note of the fact that the members listed for Subteam B differ from the members that I find in my mailing list for Subteam B meetings, namely Amr and Lawrence. And the particular emails I pulled up did not have a Wolf Ulrich in it, but that just may be an oversight on my part. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie, really, for the transcript. I think that we had enough discussion on the substance itself that, in fact, everybody knows what's on the table, and the little changes that are mentioned will probably not change anything in view of decisions by the different participants. So, having gone through the agenda, I don't know if there is any other business that we need to take care of for this call. I suppose that I've taken care of what is needed. If there is no other business we need to consider, then I would say thanks to all of you for the participation to this call and all the previous calls and work we have been doing. I would say congratulations to everybody because we went through a quite difficult step and we respected as much as possible the timing that is needed to get it done in a proper way. I see, Julie, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yes, Rudy, and I thought I heard you before mentioning having a meeting after Helsinki. Is that still anticipated? Because generally we try to avoid scheduling a meeting right after an ICANN meeting just because people are traveling back. I also don't know that we wouldn't – I don't know what we would have substantively to discuss at that point.
Thank you, Julie, Rudy, for the transcript. just in order to keep in mind that we would like to have this public comment publication done, is there a need that the committee has a call before it happens, or is that done by ICANN staff and we don't need to take care of that one?
This is Julie for the transcript. There would really be no need for a call until the public comment period has ended, or if there was a comment that came in that we felt needed to be addressed by the SEI. So, once we get the public comment period started, then we could just, plan on having a call in August, I would think, unless something arose. So mid-August, probably.
Thank you, Julie, really, for the transcript. That we know that we have some vacation time in our schedule now. I see that Wolf Ulrich is asking if there is any other business on stock for the SEI. As far as I have seen, there is nothing on the table that we need to take care of. We'll see if in Helsinki they decide to put something on the plate again. But as far as I have seen, there is nothing on the table. But I'm referring to Julie to be sure that I didn't have overseen something.
Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie. No, there is nothing on the table, and there's nothing anticipated that we as staff have heard of that's likely to be raised by the Council for the SEI at this point. So, so really, if there is, if until the public comment closes and if there are no comments and, if there are no comments, we could probably even just close this out via email. There would just be, and the SEI could decide that. But the next step after the public comment period is just a motion to go to the council, to have the council go ahead and adopt the changes to the operating procedures.
Okay. Thank you very much, Julie, really for the transcript. Well, with that, I think we can actually call this meeting to an end, and thank you all for the participation. Enjoy your afternoon, your evening. Enjoy your social responsibility meeting in Lori. And we'll see those who are coming to Helsinki. We see each other in Helsinki. Otherwise, it will be in August somewhere. Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great morning, afternoon, evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Today's meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recordings. Disconnect all the main lines. Have a great day, everyone.